Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and coming soon to Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. Safe travels to all the Duck fans that are jumping on a bird and heading over to Pennsylvania and getting ready for the Penn State wideout game with the Oregon Ducks. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of those four coastal locations, Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and Dirt. Coming soon.
Coming soon. They got another one.
Coming soon. Rockaway Beach, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. He was so great, so gracious, that we had to get him on again.
We needed more butt. We decided last week we got to have more.
We need more butt. Everybody needs more butt. Jake Butt, he is going to be on the call of Northwestern UCLA on the Big Ten Network, and he's got experience. He's been in a whiteout.
Yes, we actually had listeners who saw Jake Butt walking through the tailgate lot, sending us tweets saying, hey, can we get this guy a police escort to the front door? We got to help him walking through the tailgate lot.
He's a man of the people. Jake Butt, JBooty88 on Twitter. Good morning, Jake. It's good to track you down and get you back on. I'm just curious, what was the tailgate experience like going through getting into Autzen?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Great to be back with you. Tailgate was awesome. I mean, that's the best part about, you know, football and college football is it's a community event. Everybody gets together and, you know, especially the rivalries. You got, like, you know, different moms or aunts and uncles wearing the half Oregon State jerseys. So it was awesome. That's one of my favorite parts about football.
Well, and you were awesome on the call. I'm curious, before we get to the wideout game, what did you make of the performance? And Oregon is, they haven't played anybody yet this year. It's kind of their last tune-up. Wasn't a great start. What'd you make of the win over Oregon State on Saturday?
Yeah, just a great win. I mean, they did their job. It's those rivalry games are always dangerous. You never know exactly what you're going to get. And I give credit to Oregon State. I mean, they came out and they fought early. They put that one good drive together. I figured, hey, maybe they have some fight. But after that, it was just all Oregon. And I got the sense that Will Stein and Dan Lanning, they weren't going to empty the playbook for this Oregon State game. They might have been holding some things back ahead of the Penn State game. So all in all, they did their job, and they've done their job up to this point. But here's the real test this weekend going out to Happy Valley.
Jake Butt, our guest here, Big Ten Network, getting on the call for UCLA Northwestern this weekend. But also we want to pick your brain on the Oregon-Penn State game. And I want to dive into and ask about wideout stuff. But I want to kind of ask you a question, because you were kind of at the start of the turnaround for Michigan's football program back to upper echelon excellence. So I'm just curious, when you become a very good football team and you look at a schedule – and you're 18 to 22 years old, and you see, by our terms, patsy, 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 big game. Could you walk us through what it's like to have a team that you, if you're just being honest, you know that you can kind of sleepwalk and win versus the big game the week after? What is that like as a player, as somebody who's never been in a locker room, never had to prep for a lesser than opponent, knowing just on the horizon was the bigger opponent? What is that like? Because it kind of looked like Oregon, to me, was sleepwalking their way through it and still comfortably won the game because they knew Penn State was this weekend.
Yeah, I think some of it's overblown, to be honest with you. You know, some of these things that we talk about in the media, they sound good and they give us something to discuss. You know, another example would be Peyton Manning kind of went in on the halftime adjustments. He said he's never heard of it, never done it. As far as what you're talking about there, you know, you don't really notice it. You don't talk about it. And if you have a mature football team, a championship football team, it's always about what you do. So we would go through practice and treat every single day of, hey, was this day good enough for us? Did we practice good enough to beat Ohio State? You know, for Oregon, did you practice or play good enough to beat Penn State or win a national championship? You're competing with not your opponent, but you're competing with the highest possible version of yourself. So I can tell you, we never once had a single conversation about, you know, hey, we're going to blow this opponent out this week, but we got to save something for next week. As players, I don't know, I can't speak for the coaches, but as players, it was always about, are we meeting our standard for who we are when we're at our best?
Interesting. Now, you got a chance to play in a lot of big atmospheres. Obviously, in the Big House is your home stadium. You go on the road to Ohio State for a rivalry game. Like, where does the wideout at Penn State rank, and what is Oregon going into this weekend?
And it's number one, and I played in Denver, so we went to Arrowhead, Oakland, the Raiders, you know, been to New England, you know, I played Utah on the road, Ohio State on the road, Iowa on the road. I played in some great, great environments, but the Penn State whiteout immediately jumps out. That is the number one environment I've ever played in. It's fun. It's rowdy. That is their identity too. Like Penn State, those fans get up and get out for this game. And I don't know if you guys ever been to Happy Valley, but getting to camp, there is nothing. It is just nature and trees, and you're just driving down the highway. You're wondering, where the heck am I? And then all of a sudden, here's a college campus. So there's literally nothing else to do within like an hour radius of campus, which means everybody that, you know, cares or is even aware of the football game, that's what they're doing on Saturday night. They're going to cheer on their team and be a part of the environment. And from me, from my right shoulder to my left shoulder, a foot, you wouldn't be able to have a conversation. Like if I'm trying as a tight end, when I was trying to talk to my tackle saying, hey, here comes the pressure outside, look, the nickel's coming, doesn't matter, can't hear you. So the communication is, there is no possible communication. You cannot hear anything down on the field.
Apologies for not looking this up. Did you guys win at the wideout game?
We lost my freshman year. It was 2013, triple overtime. It was a great game. That's when Christian Hackenberg hit Allen Robinson on back-to-back Hail Marys to send it into overtime.
Right.
But then in 2015, we beat them pretty handily. But that was an afternoon whiteout. So they'll do afternoon whiteouts, but the real whiteout to me is the night game. And that's what will be different. We beat them when it was a 3:30 kick. The 7:30 kick is a whole different beast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm just curious to get your thoughts. This is Jake Butt, Big Ten Network. He'll be on the call for UCLA Northwestern this weekend. Obviously, Oregon's going over to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Penn State is 8-3 in wideout games with James Franklin, but they're 4-20 against top 10 opponents. It's been a minute, and he just, whether it's fair or not, I don't know how you view it, because I appreciated your locker room lesser than opponent comment. I'm just curious, from your perspective, is it fair what we say about James Franklin and just how you view trusting coaches or teams for whatever reason in big games when maybe they repeatedly come up short?
So there's two camps with James Franklin. And what you're asking me here, what we're talking about here, that is always the conversation. Anytime it's Penn State against a top-ranked opponent, this is the conversation just because they've struggled. But the other camp is that James Franklin is the most fairly ranked coach in college football, because when you peel back the layers of these top five matchups, top 10 matchups, oftentimes James and Penn State, they haven't been the favorites. So they lose a close one to Ohio State, but Ohio State was predicted to win. They lose a close one to Michigan, but Michigan was predicted to win. James, historically, I think in those, he's like 4-20 or something like that. Mm-hmm. The four times he won is when he was the higher ranked team and expected to win. So James is actually the most fairly ranked coach in college football. He always wins the ones he's supposed to, and rarely, if ever, wins the ones where he's not a favorite. Now, they're favored this weekend. You know, they are a home favorite against Oregon, and, you know, they followed the same model that Michigan and Ohio State did to win a national championship, which is take a bunch of guys from your roster that should be in the NFL, pool NIL money together, and get them to come back on college to college. So there's no excuses for Penn State, and there's going to be an emotional, mental, almost spiritual side of this game for Penn State. I don't think this is a must-win for Oregon, but mentally, I do think this is a must-win for Penn State.
On that note, Jake, I mean, you mentioned the favorite, and he usually wins when he's in that spot. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. Like, there's pressure on every coach when they go into a big game. And if Oregon loses, I'm sure we'll be here on Monday saying, what went wrong? Can they get over the hump? Like, that whole same dialogue will exist. But it does seem like the pressure is predominantly on one side of this matchup. Do you think it goes in their favor, being it is at home and they got all this talent back and they are the favorite? Do you like Penn State this weekend?
You know, it truly is a toss-up. Like, I couldn't tell you who wins this game with any degree of confidence, but I'm very high on Oregon. If you just looked at the on-field play up until this point, you would have to pick Oregon. You know, Penn State's looked shaky, but Oregon's been completely dominant. I just think this game is going to be won and lost in the trenches. We're going to talk about Dante Moore, and we're going to talk about Drew Ballard, upgraded their receiver room and these young DBs for Oregon. But this game is won and lost in the trenches. You know, for Oregon's offense, I think Will Stein will win the Broyles Award, or he'll be a finalist. I think he's one of the best assistant coaches in all college football. He does such a great job of spreading the ball around. But the foundation that makes it all work is the offensive line. They've been able to run the football because of the offensive line. Dante Moore has been able to spread the ball around because he's been protected. They have not seen a defense like what Penn State has. Deny Dennis Sutton, he's in the running for Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I think he'll be an All-American. Zane Durant there at defensive tackle is one of the best defensive tackles in college football. Great pass rusher. Then they got this young true freshman named Chaz Coleman who he literally is a freshman. He has no idea how good he is, but he's impossible to block. This big, wiry, has great spin moves. So it's going to be a completely different challenge for Dante Moore because he's going to be under duress and under pressure. And then for those tackles, just think about snap count. You know, they can't look inside at the football. They can't hear the snap count. So they're going to have to guess when the ball is snapped while going backwards, while trying to block these defensive ends. It's going to be a big-time test for the Oregon Duck offensive line.
So what's your overall read of Dan Lanning, just as somebody who played not very long ago, when you watch some of these younger coaches who are starting to make a real name for themselves in the sport? We're used to the old guard, right? The Sabins, Kirby's been around, Dabo, obviously, like Brian Kelly. What do you make of some of the younger coaches and somebody like Dan Lanning? What is your view or feel of them as a head coach?
You know, I think Dan Lanning, and I would say this, people like to attach that word young to it. It's, hey, Dan Lanning's the best young coach in college football. I don't even like attaching the word young anymore. I just think he's one of the best leaders in college football, period. And, you know, one great indicator of this is, Can you maximize the talent on your roster? And look at how Oregon's used the transfer portal. Look at Bo Nix's career statistics. He comes to Oregon, becomes a first-round pick. Dylan Gabriel, look at his career statistics, come to Oregon, elevates his game. Jordan Birch last year, the defensive end, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was a fine player at South Carolina, but when he comes to Oregon, he becomes a whole different beast. This year, you got a guy, Malik Benson and Bear Alexander. Malik was just a fine receiver at Florida State, Alabama. Didn't do anything special. He's the leading receiver for Oregon this year. Bear Alexander, a guy with all these expectations, and he's fallen short as a five-star USC in Georgia. He can't get it done. But then there's some magic and art to Dan Lanning's leadership where he just is able to communicate with Bear and help him release some of that emotional weight. So it allows him to become who he is, which is a really capable defensive lineman and a big piece for the Oregon defensive front. I just think he's an awesome, awesome leader. He's a master motivator. What they did to Oklahoma State this year was a masterclass in mental motivation for your team. I've said this a few times now. I believe if Dan Lanning's the head coach at Oregon, it's a matter of time before Oregon wins a national championship. It's not an if, it's a when. I don't know if it'll be this year, next year, 5 years, or 10 years. Oregon will win a national championship with Dan Lanning as the head coach.
I knew I loved you, Jake Budd. I knew I loved you all along. This is why you're my favorite. No, I know we're against it. We got to go. But I'm curious to ask you, it's not just Oregon-Penn State this weekend in the Big Ten. And I don't want to overlook the game that you're on the call for, Northwestern-UCLA. But we got USC going on the road to Illinois. Illinois got stuffed in a locker. What the hell happened there? What do you make of that game? Is there an upset brewing in Seattle? And where are you at on maybe the hangover of Indiana's big win now going on the road to Iowa?
Man, yeah, I'm glad you said it. There's some great games this weekend. I do think Washington, Ohio State, very dangerous. Washington hasn't lost at home since 2021, and we've seen the trend of young quarterbacks have struggled in their first road test. So Julian Sand is a true freshman going all the way out to the Pacific Northwest. That's going to be interesting. And Matt Patricia, Ohio State's defensive play caller, he respects Damon Williams, said he reminds him of Kyler Murray. What do they do to keep him in the pocket and not allow him to kill you with his legs? If they can shore him up, I think Ohio State wins. But I would say that's upset alert. And then Illinois-USC, Illinois was like the talk of the offseason, guys. Like we thought coming off a 10-win year and all their experience that this was going to be a special season. Here's the big issue. Indiana picked them apart in the secondary. They run a ton of pressure and they run a ton of man-to-man. They blitz and play man-to-man. Well, the issue is USC can abuse man-to-man coverage with Maiava and Lemon and all those weapons. They have to adjust their game plan. They cannot just blitz and play man-to-man against the Trojans, or the Trojans might put up 60 on them. And then on the flip side, you know, for Illinois' offense, Altmaier has been under duress for the past 2 or 3 years. They're one of the most pressured and most sacked offenses in college football. Well, USC, actually, this year, they've been generating a ton of pressure and a ton of sacks. So this, from a matchup standpoint, this is a very dangerous game for Illinois. There needs to be some adjustments by Bielema and Aaron Henry. And then Indiana, listen, I lost as the number two team. We were undefeated on the road going to play in Kinnick Stadium, a game we should have never lost. But magic, it's one of those places similar to Washington where, like, magic happens. The issue is Cignetti is the type of coach, he has his team ready. Like, he is committed to sending a message. Remember when they just curb-stomped Nebraska last year? Just absolutely. That's what I'm expecting to see this week. I just think Cignetti, he leans into the fact that people continue to doubt his program, and they show up ready to play.
Dude, you're really good at this. I don't know if anybody's told you, but you're really good at this.
I appreciate it, yeah. It's great hanging out with you guys. Anytime.
No, dude, yeah. We love having you on. I don't know if we'll have you on again next week, but we'd love to catch up with you as soon as we possibly can. Have a great call, UCLA, Northwestern. I'm not personally particularly interested in the game, but you're really good on the broadcast, so I will tune over to hear what you're saying about the two teams. Thank you for hopping on.
Thank you.
I'm glad you had safe travels. Have a good call, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, thank you. Sounds good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.